Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Yay.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Hi.
It is Tuesday, July 26th.
Yes.
Yvette is on her car phone. She's staying cold and cool in her air-conditioned vehicle because she is a lunatic like me. I actually had someone the other week, a couple of days ago, said to me, do you understand that the year is 2016? Why do you not have central air conditioning in your home? What's wrong with
you? Though, it's lovely. Isn't it fresh air until it's not?
It's lovely until you've been having the heat wave we've been having. But you know, you know why I can't complain, and I don't? I actually don't complain. Here's when I complain. This is the only time I complained, is when we got in the car on Saturday, which was what? Like it was 44 degrees Celsius or something,
yes.
Wacko?
Yes.
And guess what our nice BMW decided to do?
Air conditioning cut out?
Done. Kaputi.
Oh.
And it's not under warranty anymore. So now we have to, and so we're away this weekend, like long travels in the car. Next weekend, long travels in the car. I said to Aaron, you don't understand. I can handle it in the house.
Yeah.
I have a pool. I just lay in every few hours. I just go in, soak my body, and then
but
go back to work.
But not in a small environment.
I cannot deal with a vehicle with no air conditioning because we did it all the way to Toronto, and not that it's that far. We have like 4-hour commutes. Like we have about 8 hours driving this weekend, 8 hours driving next weekend. And I said, oh, no, oh, no, no, she must have some air. Or else Crystal's completely only wearing ponytails for everything from this a bun tied
okay,
tightly.
Wait a second. That is not an incentive to get the air conditioning fixed. Aaron's going, okay.
Yeah, Aaron would be like, okay, yeah, just wear a bun and don't wear any makeup. That's actually his advice has been to me lately. He goes, you know what, honey? Just put your hair in a bun and don't wear any makeup, and the heat won't bother you so much. And I'm like, because that way we can open every window and
that's right.
The roof.
Yeah. Whenever Dave opens up the windows, I go, wait a second, I get my little scrunchie out.
I know.
Because otherwise it goes haywire everywhere.
Yeah, you know, we have to take these things into account.
Yes, I agree.
Anyways, darling, it is Tuesday, July 26th. It's nearly the end of July. We are headed into the hot dog days of August, which is always my favorite month of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's actually Aaron's. Aaron's favorite month of the year. We were married, 08-08-08.
Yay!
Yay! And Aaron loves August. He always talks about August. But then, you know what's funny? Because Aaron already in August begins talking about how sad he is that August is coming to an end. And I said, can you at least wait until August 15th before you start getting sad? Like, in his joy of August, he's also at the same time sad.
Because it's come already.
So I try to explain to him, this is called the grief. This is called depression looping. It's grief. I go, you know what's happening, honey? In the pleasure parts of your brain, they're lighting up because it's August. And in the sad parts of your brain, it's lighting up because it's August and you know winter's coming soon. So
this is your 08-08-08 then?
This
is like your 8th year married.
Yes.
8,
so this is 08-08-08, eight years later.
Wow. That's cool. So you're 4. 08-08-08-08.
Yeah, so now we're 4-8, so I need to actually look up 8888 and see what that number represents, because I bet you it's going to be special.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
now,
so, yeah, talk to me, sister, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, sister, go, bam, go.
So you've been motivating me without me realizing it, you know what I mean? Like, it's like that slow surfacing thing, and then it comes out, I'm like, holy shit, this must be from Crystal. But anyway, so I go, and I'm sure a lot of the people on the line can relate to this on some level, at some aspect of it. So on Friday, I go to the grocery store, and I'm beating around, making sure I got everything I need and not forget anything. So my mind is totally on my groceries, and I pull up, I put my groceries on the till, and then I'm like, oh, shit, one more item. So I go to the cashier, one more item. She goes, okay. So I quickly ran back, and the lady in front wasn't done yet, so I come back, and then she goes, oh, I'm going to put your stuff off to the left side, she says, because you're in an express lane. We all have like 500 million items, right? And I swear to goodness, I had no concept, because where I live, too, there's a lot, for whatever reason, there's more express lanes, so it was almost like in the middle. And so I just assumed that I was safe in the middle. But anyways, so I come there, and she was very sweet about it. I said, oh, my goodness. I said, I'm awfully sorry. Like, I was taken aback, because I'm usually pretty good about things like that. And then this gentleman, this man in the next lane over, not even my lane, the next lane over, goes and, like, pounds on the sign that says 1 to 16 or whatever. Like, tap, 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 tap. And I go, oh, yes, my faux pas, I'm the bad girl for the weekend. And I was making it kind of light because I thought, yes. Like, the reaction.
Like, it was clearly an accident.
I know. And
I'm not an asshole. And the minute I saw it, I've apologized. Okay, yeah, carry on.
And the guy in the next lane has nothing to do with him. It's become his issue, right? So,
yes.
And I go, oh, yeah, I'm the bad faux pas. I'm the bad girl for the weekend. And laughed and joking. And then I just, it was the weirdest thing. This is where you come in. Because I thought, here's an opportunity. So I went into, in a light way, not in a heavy, holier than now, I'm on my pedestal and my soapbox.
Because you're in the wrong. You're actually in the wrong. You're in the wrong
way. I was in the wrong. Like, and I can acknowledge it, right?
Yeah.
Then I referenced, and I started talking about the fact that there was the attack in Germany, right?
Yeah.
And how we've got to start giving ourselves grace in everyday life. And I'm telling the cashier like this, with the intention of the gentleman hearing me, of course.
Yes.
And I said, it starts with us. And I said, and when you think about it, a faux pas by me of not recognizing a sign and being in the wrong lineup, I said, means nothing. It's in the bigger picture. Like, seriously, you're going to have a shit fit over that and become your problem? And then I went a step further in my own mind going, maybe he had a shitty week and he was coming up for the weekend and he was rushing to get his own stuff done. And I can't explain his behavior, but it gave me an opportunity. And it was really good because the cashier was very receptive. She's like, oh, blah, blah. And we had this great conversation. And I did it in a way that I would be overheard. Do you know what I mean? I was making sure. So I felt really empowered by that because I could have festered inside. I could have been like, who does he think he is? And blah, 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 blah. I've been told. I could have taken that attitude. Oh, well, I've been told. You know, and be sarcastic about it or whatever.
Yeah.
But I took the opportunity to shift it, and I remained light the entire time. I didn't get snooty. I didn't get upset. Anyway, it felt really good. But it was a weird experience for me to have something like that happen and change the dynamic.
So let's imagine this were an older experience. Like, let's say you it had been another time. How would it maybe have played out in a different way?
I would have a couple ways. Depends on my mood. I could have said, like, mind your beeswax. I don't know why this is bugging you so much. It has nothing to do with you. Or I would ingest it. I wouldn't say a word. I'd fester inside, and then I would feel bad or guilty about it. Make excuses.
Yeah, but what you just shared is if we were to look at the empowerment spectrum, mm-hmm. we all, at any given moment, we have the ability to make a choice. And so your mother energy would have been passive. Your mother energy would have ingested it.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother energy would have actually been feeling bad and, oh, my God, over a
freaking... I can't believe it. Shamed, yeah.
Feeling bad and guilty over the fact that she made a mistake and put groceries on the wrong checkout aisle. How freaking small and unimportant. But mother energy would absolutely have, like, ingested that.
Be horrified. And
let it implode on her and let that man talk to her in a way, and she would have really felt shamed. And then your daughter energy would be aggressive. And your daughter energy would say, mind your own business. What's your problem, buddy? This isn't your checkout lane anyway. So, like, mind your own business. Rap. And then your woman energy just is able to be neutral. And then not only be neutral, rise above it, see the bigger picture, you know, step into his skin and walk around in it a little bit and think maybe he's just a miserable old man. Maybe he's been in a long lineup and he has a little bit of groceries and he really wanted to go through my checkout lane, but I was in the way, so he's taken that one. That whole conversation happened in 1 second.
Yep.
In your brain, that way woman energy does it. It's just an instant, I have this ability to see the bigger picture. And now I actually even see this as an opportunity to apologize, make light of, teach, show love, compassion, understanding, and a little laughter, and maybe actually create unity.
Well, I even said to the lady, I go, I said, I can move my groceries to the other till. She goes, no, and this is the funny part. Oh, we're allowed to do this when it's not busy, and it wasn't busy, right? And I said, you've made me feel so much better about it. Thank you.
Yeah, and when you really think about it, I can't even imagine letting a mistake like that implode on me. Like, that's just way too disempowered.
That was the empowerment. That's where I felt, because I literally put my hands in the air and I went,
oh my God.
I'm the bad girl for the weekend. Like, that was like, oh my God, this is so funny. I can't believe I just did this.
Yes.
As opposed to blaming myself or making excuses or defending it.
Or defending it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
it's
would have
beautiful.
Been the instinct. Instinct would have been the defense of, like, you know, what, I have 16. I'll just pay three different bills.
Yeah. Just consider me three clients.
That's
I have three shoppers right now.
Wait, is my mother energy, daughter energy, and woman energy shopping right now?
Yes. My multiple personalities have gone grocery shopping. There's three of us here. I put them in three different carts. Can't you see? No, that's what's so great. And that's what this work starts to offer, is this ability to almost like it's practice in the beginning of almost doing the check-in when you're in any type of conflict to pause and stop. And then it gets easier and easier for it to become automatic, because what's really happening on a biological, on a physiological level, like literally the brain, your brain has started to create a new synaptic pathway now in how you're showing up. And that's really all this work is all actually about the brain. And the way the brain is, our brain from the time we are little creates mental shortcuts. And and I know you know all this, Yvette, but I just want to remind everyone that's listening.
No, it's a good refresher for me too, because it did feel, it was almost surprising. I'm like, well, where did this come from? And then I reflected and I'm going, well, because I'm in it every day. We're around, I'm around it all the time.
And you're reminding yourself all the time. You're mindful all the time until you no longer even have to be mindful. It becomes automatic. And so if we can all realize and recognize that when we're constantly, until the day we die, especially women, and this is actually factual, women, even more than men do this, we're always patterning. Like, we're always looking for a pattern. We're always trying to create a mental shortcut to keep us safe. So from the time we're little, we start to make conclusions about the world, our safety in it, and the best way to protect ourselves. So some of us learn when we're young that being sort of passive, staying under the radar, we've been abused before, it's inevitable it's going to happen again. Our best bet is to, and we actually form, every time you feel afraid, that fear fires off a neuron, and you fire off a thought first. That thought also fires off hormones or chemicals with the thought. So the thought doesn't just have a thought like, oh my God, the thought then creates a chemical reaction. So now you have adrenaline that's raced out in your body, and it, all of this works together. And then the thought is really a neuron. The neuron attaches to a receptor site. That receptor site, over time, that you've been abused or you've been scared or you don't feel safe or you don't feel protected, creates a shortcut. And that becomes your dominant emotional archetype. That becomes the way that you learn how to show up in the world in the safest way. Now,
let me ask you something. Because I find myself in life in general, I show up empowered in woman energy. But when it comes to driving, I think the worst case scenario right away. And I get pissed off right away.
Okay, so there's a pattern. There's a story that's happened enough times when you were younger, or you watched your father drive, or your mother drive, or you were around, you were in that environment, and we all did it, Yvette, not just you, every single one of us. So we create mental shortcuts that we think, and in time, it's not, we don't even think of them as, this is a mental shortcut to keep me safe. We think, this is the right way.
Mm-hmm.
This becomes the right way. So this actually becomes a belief. And the belief is more than just a story. It's actually an emotional, physiological now resonance. So it's almost like in your body, when you're driving, you're more vigilant. You've gone into hypervigilant mode. When you're driving, maybe you didn't feel safe when you first moved from Ottawa to Toronto. Maybe being on the highway was scary. Maybe you drove with someone who was aggressive. Maybe you, where do you, can you make a connection?
I'll give you an example of like parking, like backing out of a parking spot.
Yeah.
It happens to me all the time. It drives me nuts where people literally will keep going. Like, I'm in the middle of backing up and people will keep passing by me, seeing that my lights are on and the car is moving, and I have to stop and wait for, where they could have easily not gone forward.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, can you not wait 2 more seconds? Like, I literally, because what if I didn't see them? I would have hit them.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm thinking it's stupidity on their part. Like, why go forward when you see clearly someone's halfway, three quarters out of their parking?
Okay, so here's okay. So this is a specific, but mm-hmm. And sometimes when you get too much into the specifics, the details, they're not about that. It's mm-hmm. the bigger story that's going on around it. But I will tell you this: I don't have that problem. I don't have a problem where I feel like people are past me when I'm trying to pull out of a parking lot. I don't ever remember even ever thinking that's ever been ever once a problem. So I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm saying there's a story around that for you.
Right.
So there's a story around that. So it's either...
Like, why does it bother me so much?
Or why is it happening to you so much? Are you not looking? Are you pulling back before you really look to see, and there's someone that was that close that they're like, wow, I'm going around her because she pulled out when she should have waited. So that's another whole story. That's about driving. That could be about your driving style. But it's the what I'm really hearing is that there's an expectation that this happens to you. So your brain is hypervigilant to seeing that story.
Gotcha. So that I tracked it in some ways.
Well, and not even necessarily that you're attracting it. It's that you're seeing it because you need to heal it.
Mm.
You're seeing this story, and it keeps coming up for you because this is an opportunity for you to heal this frustration or this thing that you think is happening to you that it's not happening to you.
Right. But it's a knee-jerk reaction, the right away of like...
So the knee-jerk reaction is aggressive.
Yeah.
So the knee-jerk reaction is that you also have a protective mechanism. There was a time in your life that you realized being passive and letting people walk on me doesn't serve me. So if I'm put into a situation where I'm being confronted, being aggressive or being self-righteous or being in the right is more soothing on some level that keeps you feeling somehow in your mind you're safe, you're in the right, they're in the wrong.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
It's all of us. It's not just you. Every one of us. So what I'm saying is that your brain, as you get into a car, it begins setting in at a certain frequency, a story, a level of protection. That becomes your automatic. So it becomes, of course, that would happen to you. Why does that happen to you? Why are there some people that drive and like they have road rage, and then there's other people that are like, I don't have this at all. Is it that there's only bad drivers around people with road rage? But there's no bad drivers around the other person that never.
Well, I think the energy too, because you're probably right. When I get in the car, I defensively drive, like I'm constantly looking for what's going to hit me.
Yeah, right. So
as
you're aware
of
like I can't believe he just came by, and I can't believe he came that close to me. And maybe he wasn't that close, and maybe it wasn't even a big deal, but there's a story, and that becomes your dominant emotional archetype when you're driving. So when you're driving in your car, who's in charge?
Me.
No, but what I mean is it your mother energy? Is it your daughter energy? Is it your woman energy?
It would probably be mother energy, I would imagine.
But does mother energy yell at people and be...
No, that's daughter energy. No,
right.
When I get triggered, it'd be
And your daughter energy
daughter
would have been
out.
The person that said, you mind your own business over there.
Well, it's funny because when it happens...
Mother
I,
energy would never do that, by the way. Mother energy would never go, listen over there, you mind your own business. Mother energy would slink down into the floor... and then slide on her belly out with her groceries behind her because she's so mortified that she did something to offend somebody else.
Well, even when it happens, I think to myself, oh, my goodness, because if people could hear me, it's like, who is this person in this car? Like, I think, wow, that wasn't a very nice event. Like, I'll actually stop and correct myself after the fact, but my knee jerk is swearing, getting, like, you know.
Worked up.
Yeah, worked up.
You're getting worked up. So that is your automatic, that is literally a synaptic pathway response. It happened in a matter of like a nanosecond.
Yep.
So what I'm getting at is every time you can, now that you're aware of that simple awareness that, oh, my God, you know what, when I'm in my car, I'm not in woman energy. That simply now becomes a mindfulness that when you're driving, before you even get in your car, before you're about to pull out, you say to yourself, how would woman energy drive? How does woman energy drive.
Ding, 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 ding. All the bells are going off. Oh, this is wild.
Yeah, I love that.
I thought of it like that, yeah.
Yeah, so how does woman energy drive her car? How does woman energy respond? How does woman energy...
She gets a bigger and better car. Just joking.
She just plows through people. You know, and so this is what's so beautiful, because what happened for you in the grocery store is what's going to happen for you when you're driving.
Yeah.
you're going to be almost, actually, you're going to be like, what is the rush? Why can't they go by me? Why does it matter? What would an extra second take? Maybe you're pulling out too fast. Maybe you're aggressive. Maybe you're fast. I will tell you, in all, what is the one thing I tell you?
I know I'm too fast.
You're fast. You're so fast sometimes. You just got to slow it down, take a pause, and just because it doesn't have to be, you're so fast. And it's because your brain works so fast. It's because you're so smart. It's because you're accelerated. It's because you move fast. It's because you think fast. It's because, but it's also that knee-jerk reaction is fast.
Right. Do it now. Get it on. Yeah.
Right? So there's to be able to recognize that and say, okay, so what I would have done in the past is this. What my mother energy would have done is this, and I don't do that anymore. Okay, good. Now my daughter energy does this. So if I were in woman energy when I were driving, what would that look like and how would I feel? So why don't I create that when I get in my car and I sit for a minute and I turn on my air conditioning and then I put on some nice music.
Corey.
I put on some nice music. I put on my seatbelt. I take a deep breath. I relax. I look around. There's no race. I take my time, and if somebody needs to go, I wave them out. I smile. Okay, I'm not trying to say it, but I freaking feel like I am the most chilled out, loving driver. I can truly say that. I always
I can't
just feel
wait
like
to get like that.
I did nothing phases. Like I literally be like, oh, go ahead, let you in. I wave out the windows at people. Honest to God, I'm not even joking. I can't even remember the last time that I've gotten.
You wouldn't recognize me. You'd be like, holy shit, Yvette, take a pill.
I can't even remember ever getting mad at a job. Okay, I remember years ago. I can't believe I did this. I'll tell you the one thing I did years ago. I was at the shopping mall. It was really busy. It was Christmas time. It was years ago. I can't believe I did this. So it's crazy. You know how, like, everybody's crazy. Relax. So I'm, like, pulling out, or I'm going around. This guy is, like, on his horn, but it's like, asshole, there's 27 cars in front of me. There's nothing I can do, and he's behind me. So we get up to it's my turn to get up to, like, the stop sign, because it's, like, a four-way stop sign, and it's taking forever. I actually put my car in park. I get out of my car. I walk back to his window. He's sitting with his wife. I lean down, I look at the window, I said, I just want to say Merry Christmas to you guys. I look over at the wife and I said, I feel really sorry for you that you have to be with a man that's this angry. Like, I really hope you realize how angry you are. It's Christmas. It's busy. And then I walked back up to my car. He was speechless.
Shocked.
But my kids were in the car.
He's going to give him a mouthful, probably.
He probably thought it was, but I just literally looked at his wife and said, I have something like that. Oh, my God, I feel really sorry for you that you have to go Christmas shopping with a man that's this angry.
Yeah.
And Merry Christmas. Peace be with you. And walked up, and there was like a huge lineup, and people were honking at me because now I'm at the stop sign, and I'm holding, and that's pretty selfish. Yeah. But I did that, and I got in the car, and the girls were like, what did you say? And then I told them, and then I said, don't ever do that. Don't ever get out of your car. I could have gone walking back there, and he could have pulled out a gun and shot me.
It wasn't the best move.
That was not a smart thing to do. Yeah. I should have just carried on in mind of my business and thought in my mind, you're an angry man. Merry Christmas. I wish you peace. Chill the hell out. But, you know, it does come down to just being able to say, like, number one, what's the rush? Why are you worried? Why are you worried about it? Why are you even upset about it?
Well, even recognizing it, I think.
But recognizing it is huge. So what's happening is, as I was talking about these synaptic pathways, what's brilliant about the brain is the brain then has a mental shortcut. So the minute you get in your car, your brain goes to that mental shortcut to drive. It doesn't even think about doing it another way unless you become mindful. What's so brilliant about the brain is the minute you become mindful, you now release a new neuron that will attach to a new – think of them as woman energy pathway or, like, you know, mother energy pathway, woman energy pathway, daughter energy pathway. Daughter energy pathway is a choice. Each one of them is a choice. What's so beautiful about the brain is that in time, if you start making a new choice, that old pathway – literally almost grows grass over it, and it becomes, it's no longer an automatic response anymore. And the new way becomes your synaptic pathway in terms of how you would show up in this situation. So over time, it actually becomes automatic. Doing it in a calm, loving, assertive, if you have to, gentle, laughter, oh, my God, let's not sweat this, becomes an easy way to do it.
But it also shows you that you can be mother energy in woman energy predominantly in many areas of your life, but then there's aspects of your life where you're not. So it's really, for me, an awareness that I consider myself woman energy, but then I'm like, wait a second, there's these few areas over here, where it's like, no, you don't show up in woman energy.
No,
so
I was in woman energy, so let me tell you what happened to me on this weekend. Like this, mm-hmm. I actually had the worst argument I've ever had with my child, and it was devastating for me. And because, so from my perspective, I had to keep saying to myself, what would woman energy, I can't believe what I did, but I'm going to admit it to everybody, because I absolutely had a daughter energy. But then there was also a part of me that said, I think this has to happen.
Sometimes daughter energy is a good thing too, though, right? Sometimes somebody needs to hear it.
That's woman energy. That's tough love.
Right.
Then that's
right.
Tough love. But the way I delivered it, I was daughter energy. But what I'm getting at, though, Yvette, is we always have daughter energy in us, and we always have mother energy in us. That never goes away, but it's that it's healed, and then rather than contracting into it and falling into it in a shameful way, we call upon it and ask it what it would do. We learn the lesson from it. We ask our daughter what it would do, and then we then have the ability to make the choice to be in woman energy. Those two energies are guidance. They're about healing, kind of them coming together and being like, okay, if I could put the two of you into one body, what would I be? How would it look? But so for me, so it's, you know, again, it's Julia. Julia, you know, Julia is, I think I've said it before, Julia came out of the womb crying, screaming, and has this, Julia has a beautiful, all the other things, like this goes without saying. And I don't think I allowed myself up until she was 18 to let myself go into daughter energy parenting her. You know, Erin and I will talk about it. I say, could you imagine if that kid had gotten, like, my parents, your parents? Could you imagine if that kid had gotten a different set of parents, like, where she could have turned, where it could have gone, how it could have gone wrong? Because she's incredibly high maintenance, like, incredibly high maintenance. And one of the things, one of the things Madeline said to me yesterday, I was crying, and I said, I don't know, have I done this wrong? Have I just done it wrong? Like, I just feel it. Like, I was just totally having I was very sad that we could have had this kind of fight. Madeline and I have never had anything like this. Erin and I have shit like this, but I've never let myself go there like that with Julia. And she's also an adult now. She's nearly 20. So, Julia's a high maintenance kid. And she always has been. And, you know, even with this year while she's in school, there have been many times she's walked through that door and she gets up very early in the morning. She commutes 2 hours. She's in school in Toronto all day. Then she takes a 2-hour commute home. I get it. She's tired. She's crabby. It's 5 days a week. It's long days. It's not a normal college program that sometimes they have a few days, you know, they have a few periods off, or they might only be in school for 2 hours. It's literally like an 8-hour day with 4 hours of commuting. And she goes, and she's consistent, and she's hardworking, and she's a perfectionist, and she's gives it her all. And so when she gets home, she unloads a lot. I've been that safe place. And there's a part of me that just thought, I'm the punching bag. But there was no way I was going to do anything dramatic, dysfunctional, unfair. Even we're going to teach you a lesson on how to communicate in this last year, because this last year was so intense that I had an overwhelming amount of compassion and thought, like, this is her thing. This is her gig, and it's hard work. And so if she came in crabby, I'd let it go in one ear. I'd get dinner on the table. I'd say, you know what, you just need to go up and have a bath. And, you know, she might cry, and then I'd give her a hug, and she might scream at me, and then I'd go in and talk. Like, it's been a lot of work with this child. It's not just been this year. It's been her life. And it's been a lot of work to really maintain woman energy and probably a lot of mother energy, in truth, with this kind of child. It takes a lot of love and a lot of patience and a lot of understanding. And so school's done. I bought her a beautiful graduation present. I just feel like I support this kid. Now I'm sounding mother energy. Do you see how I'm explaining? But I'm trying to, anyways. She comes in, anyway, it, you know what? She comes in Sunday morning. I don't even want to get into the whole thing without every detail. But anyways, she comes in. It's peaceful. I'm cleaning the house. Sunday morning is often a quiet morning. I'm vacuuming.
Sweet Sunday morning.
Sweet Sunday morning. It's quiet. Maddie's at a music festival. Erin's still sleeping. Julia, in fairness, she did have to get up at like 3 or 4 in the morning Sunday because she had to be in Toronto for 6 a.m. to do a makeup for a wedding. So, and in fairness, she got herself double booked. So she, okay, there's a long story. I'm making a long story of it. I get all the reasons why she was wound up. I get all the reasons why she was stressed out. I get all the reasons why. But when she comes in, by the time she comes back in from her event, Julie has this way, like she walks, let's say I'm on my computer. Let's say I'm doing something. She snaps. She wants my attention. Crystal. Like, Crystal. And then she might even walk over and just put my lid down and
would
say.
Would she say Crystal?
Yeah. Oh, she might go, Crystal. Crystal, listen to me. Listen to me. Look away from your computer. And I always look up and I go, yes, Julie. It wouldn't be the way she'd come in. She'd go, hi. Because Julie always walks in like, hi. And then, okay, I have to tell you what happened today. And then I could be right in the middle of something where it's like, I have to finish this email. I just have to, I'm on a coaching call. Or she'll snap, Crystal, shut your computer. I need to talk to you right now. So I just know her. So yes, Julia. So she starts telling. So what Julia also does is she tells me, everything, but then if I have an opinion, she'll go, whatever, okay, shut up. Like, she'll walk out of the, like she's really rude.
Right.
It's rudeness. It's rude. It's rude. Mm-hmm. You don't speak to me. And so in the past, I might have said, Julia, don't speak to me. And she'll be like, blah, 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 blah. And she might walk up the stairs, and then I might just ignore it because. Mm-hmm. And then she comes down 10 minutes later and she might be like, Crystal, okay, I got something else I got to tell you. Like she's Julia, you know,
right.
And it's usually pretty fierce and aggressive. But the funny thing is in public, Madeline will say, Mom, everyone thinks Julia's shy and sweet. Everyone thinks Julia is, you've done a good job. Like she's really doing well in the world, but she sucks at home. Like sucks. With the way she talks to me, way she talks to Madeline, and way she talks to Erin. So much so that if she really gets mad, she might go, shut the fuck up! Not at me, but at Madeline. Yeah. She might go, shut the fuck up! Like, it's just crazy. Where I'm just like, we don't do it that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But for the last year now, Madeline's been away, blah, blah, blah. So, but it was a Sunday. I didn't need that. I'm cleaning. I'm doing my thing.
Well, I don't think you need it any day.
Any day! Any day! Any day, any day. And you're 19 years old and you're going to be 20. And I would disable you if I allow you to continue to speak like this to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
actually disabling now. That's I've enabled you and I've actually overcompensated. I've realized you have learning disabilities.
You're not doing
I know
any
you.
Service.
I'm not doing you any service now. To allow you to think that on any level it's acceptable to flip out on me, especially over nothing, like my opinion. Well, Julia, what I think you should do, and I start to say, and she's like, I didn't ask that, or I didn't, that's not what I'm used to giving great advice to people, and I'm used to being respected. I'm used to it from her. But it's getting to be in my life, whether it was my designer, whether it's my friends, whether it's my family members, whether it's my husband, and ta-da, whether it's my children.
Right.
I've reached a point now where I'm like, no, you're actually an adult now, and I wouldn't allow anyone to ever speak to me this way. But because I allow this when you were little, and I overcompensated, your parents, your dad and I got divorced, and then George and I split up, and then Erin and I got married, and it's been hard, and you nearly died, and Erin, like this, I and your friend died, and there's a lot of things, and we all have things, and I've just been so loving, and I've nurtured, and I've loved, and I've loved, and I've loved, and you know what? She's an amazing human being going places in the world. I did a great job, but
if
I allow her now to continue, anyways, it just went, she stormed out the door. I ran out to the car. She literally is like turning on her car and sort of pulling away on me as I'm talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I can't. I lost my marbles.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my marbles. I swore at her in the driveway. She peeled out of the driveway, and off she's been gone. And she hasn't come home.
She's and scared shitless to come home.
Yeah, she's probably scared shitless.
Yeah,
but she hasn't come home. And my old me would be, where are you? What's happening? But she's nearly 20. And I know where she is because Madeline knows where she is. I know what she's doing, and I know it all. But the old me would text and say, we need to talk, we need to. But right now I feel like I can no longer allow this kind of behavior in my life on any level. And I get it when you have a 2-year-old, they're going to have temper tantrums. I get it when you have a 15-year-old, they're in puberty. I get it even as a 19-year-old that's stressed out, you're in school, your workload is insane, but you're out of school and things and thin, and like there has to be a point where we say to the people that are in our lives, even your own kid, nope.
And your own environment. So you're creating an environment of peace, right, and comfort. And when someone comes in and disrupts that, I mean, it's your home.
It's my home. And I get, she'll say, it's my home.
Not when you turn, after you turn 18, it's no longer your home.
And I never wanted to be that kind of mom. But there's a part of me I want to say, why don't you try living with your dad? Or why don't you go live with a friend? Or why don't you, you're nearly 20. Why don't you see what it's like out there? Get, Jack Mallon's like, mom, she needs a reality check. She needs a reality check. She's so out of touch with reality. Like, she's such a little diva. So this has been my situation. So I'm the, I just keep saying to myself, I have to, when she comes through this door, I have to be very firm about, Julia, I think you need to, this may sound, you guys all might freak out that I'm doing this. But I'm doing it with, do you remember when we talked about last week or the week before, or whatever it was that I said, you actually have to have enough faith in yourself that this person loves you so much. And that you love yourself enough that you're going to have to set a boundary with consequences.
And
then you're going to have to stick
to it. It is
tough
love. It's just a tough part. But you, like, you wouldn't be of service to her if you didn't. Because
like
then
if she walked back
in
and then I'm like,
thinking it's okay.
Yeah. No. So I'm really sticking to this one. And I know she won't be gone for long. But I'm really sticking to the, there are rules in this home. And there's a
and
way of communicating.
And you have your own emotions around it.
And we're, I get
that ain't fun.
Yeah, and I get that families get messy and relationships sometimes we yell at each other, but there is a difference between having a disagreement that gets passionate with someone who's just continuously shitty to you. Like just talks to you like you're a piece of shit 90% of the time. 10% really sweet and loving. 90% what? What do you think? I don't want that. Why did you do that? Shut up. I got that. Like, holy shit, what have I allowed? What have I allowed? Now, Madeline will say she wouldn't dream of doing that to anyone anywhere, but me and Madeline, she won't do it to Aaron. She just hates Aaron. She'll just be like, she just won't talk to him. She'll just ignore him. She would not be disrespectful. Well, the odd time she'll say, fuck off! I want to breathe, go outside, just go breathe, breathe, go somewhere. But me and Madeline, we just get the brunt of it. And Madeline and I get along so beautifully. She knew I was so upset, so she came and spent the day with me, and we just had a beautiful day. And that's what Aaron will say, honey, everyone loves you. You have a beautiful relationship with everyone. You just got this kid, and you love her. But you're not doing her any favors if you continue to let her think that on any level that's acceptable to talk to any human being that way. It's just not.
And I bet there's a lot of families out there that can relate to what you're going through.
Yeah, so I thought I would share it because even Crystal and all her great communication swore at her kid and told her to fuck off. I can't believe I did it. I'm telling everybody the truth. I was like, she slammed the door on me, was pulling away, and I yelled in my driveway, fuck off. I can't believe I did it. And I looked down there at my neighbors. I was like, hi. Hi.
Yeah.
Hi. Teenager.
I'm Crystal.
Hi, Crystal. I'm your new neighbor. The funny thing is we have new neighbors that moved in across the street from me. I was like, hi. My kid. I'm sorry. I walked in the house, and all Aaron could say is, oh, I'm mortified. I'm so mortified that the neighbors would hear you swearing. And like then I was like, I just looked at her and went, I'm sorry. I am sorry. I'm sorry. That was daughter energy. Like, you don't yell fuck off to your kid. Like, you just don't. You don't. But I'm just telling everybody, Crystal, in all her glory and enlightenment, and she never yells at anybody when she drives, and she never is rude to anybody. She swore at her own kid. Yep.
Merry fucking Christmas.
Are you angry, man? So there it is. There it is. We all do it. We all fail and falter. At least you were kind to the guy in the grocery checkout line. You could have said to him, fuck off. It's not your business.
Michael, I've got to write a book, what you'd love to say, but don't.
It's true.
Think of all the scenarios and go, this is what the enlightened, empowered woman says. This is what she'd really like to say.
It's true. So we have to keep practicing. We have to keep practicing. So my outburst was anger. I clearly just hit a point of, you know what I actually said to her when she was like going in the car? I said, I can't spank you. You're too old to give a time out to. But, Julia, there will be consequences. And I'm going to think about what those consequences are. And she just slammed her door on me.
But this is the beautiful thing, because this may be the thing that gets her out on her own and doing her own thing and realizing that it's not as pretty out there as it has been in your house.
Right.
This may be the catalyst. And she says, F you, Mom. I'll show you. I don't need you.
Oh, she won't,
and that's okay, too.
Yeah, and if she does, though, that's great. That's what I'm saying. So every bird must leave the nest. You don't want it, like Madeline wouldn't, I would never have to tell Madeline, fuck off, to leave the nest. Madeline, I would be like, can you come home and have a visit with me, sweet angel?
Yeah.
But Julia is a different child, and this is the proof to you moms that say, I don't get it. I'm the same person. Is this my fault? Well, on some, we're all different. Our children are their own people. They have their own journey, their own lessons.
But you own your role in it, too. Like, you recognize your role and how it's gotten.
I definitely have allowed her a lot of leeway that got her to be this empowered woman in the world. But now you're going to have to be empowered and loving in your home, too.
Yeah.
So I would love, to weigh in on the conversation today, or share if you're going through something similar. We have about 20 minutes. Star 2 on your phone. It'll just put you in the queue, and we'll know that you want to join in, or you have something to say, or you have a thought, or if it's really off base and you really need me, no problem. Star 2, and we can do some coaching with you. So I see someone has lifted their hand here from Chicago, and who's this on the line?
Hey, Crystal. It's
Carmen. How are you, honey?
Hi. I'm fine. That is a very funny story, but even Crystal has issues. I'm so surprised.
I love it. 19-year-old daughter to F off. Can you even imagine?
Yeah, I can imagine.
So what do you think, Carmen?
Well, honestly, I have a 20-year-old son, the one with epilepsy, and I gave him a lot of leeway. Well, this story could last forever, so I'm just going to try to make it short.
Yeah.
But it's like my daughter, as you know, she's very motivated.
Yep.
And she's 24, and she's off doing her own thing.
Yep.
And then he's the 20-year-old, I don't know. I let him go with his dad for his senior year, and that just took a turn for the worse, and his dad sent him back to me to pick up all the spilled milk.
Yep.
And now I'm trying to figure out how to get this guy on track. He works off and on for a temp service. He won't go to school. I'm, like, trying to figure out, I don't want to move this guy every time I move somewhere, or, you know.
Right. Yeah.
I want him to be independent.
Carmen, here's what pops into my head, because here was your second, you know how you described your son? You're going to listen back, and you're going to, because this is how my brain works. I listen not just to what you're saying, but so my son has epilepsy.
Yeah.
And he's 20 years old.
Yeah.
So you defined him by that, and I'm going to bet, just like Julia, who had learning disabilities and had just a crazy personality with intense anxiety and high maintenance, on some level, we parented them different than we parented our other daughter, your daughter and my daughter, other daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
We parented them differently.
Yeah.
And then we reach a point where we got a 20-year-old on our hands.
That I'm disabled.
That we have on some level enabled and some level disabled.
Uh-huh.
Because what did you do that was good for him? What did you do? Before we, like, beat ourselves up, what have you done, in your heart, had he been with his dad this whole time and not you, where do you think he'd be?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Selling drugs.
Right.
Okay,
selling drugs.
On the street, gangs, something,
I don't know. On the street, gangs. Okay.
Yeah.
So he has had epilepsy, which it causes us as mothers to have a special little extra, we give them leeway.
Yeah.
We allow them to get away with stuff that we wouldn't let anyone else get away with.
Right.
Because there's a little bit of guilt or love or something mixed in there. Fear, feel badly. We just feel badly because the odds are a little bit against them.
Yeah.
So do you think he feels loved by you?
I think he does, and I feel like he knows that mom's going to be there regardless because dad was like, you got to get out. You can't.
He feels loved by you. He knows you will take him to the next house, even though you're frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
Even he knows deep down there's the laugh. The laugh of truth is, yep, I will take him.
Yeah, I will. I'm taking him with me Saturday. I'm moving
Saturday to another place, and I'm making sure I got a two-bedroom for my 20-year-old.
Yes, I am.
Right. Okay, so let's stay with this because I was meant to talk about this today.
Yeah.
Because I think it's what a lot of us go through. So your 24-year-old daughter, you know she's good. She's strong. You don't have to worry about her.
Yeah. And then I have a 13-year-old son that's very independent on his own, too. It's like I just don't know.
Okay, good. Great. Okay, so let's imagine now that you've got this one kid who's special needs.
Yeah.
I have a special needs child.
But I try not to make him not think that.
No, I never. Julia has no idea she has special needs.
Yeah, I don't want
to. Julia has no idea.
Let that hinder him. Yeah.
No, I've never ever talked about it. In fact, if Julia said to me, on top of the fact that I just had this fight with her, probably the day before she said to me, you know, Mom, I listen to the way you talk, and you know, when people ask me questions, I have all the answers in my head, but I don't know how to say them. How come you know how to say things so good?
Mm-hmm.
So, on the other hand, I would never say, well, Julie, because you have special needs. I never.
Right.
Never has she even clued in. I've never even talked to her about her IEP education plan at school that got her through. I never made a big deal about it, so I get it. But without us even giving it, there is something special, different, more challenging for those kids. For your boy, for my girl.
I've even thought of last night in the shower of writing up a lease or a contract and saying you have to pay me $100 or
let's stay with this. Let's stay with me. Don't you're thinking while I'm talking.
Okay.
Don't think right now. Just be this.
All right.
So you parented each of your kids the way you thought was best.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's true, or do you feel like I dropped the ball?
The way I thought it was best, yes.
Okay, good. And if you didn't, we all make mistakes. There's times you look back and I go, in the big picture, I did the best I could, and I know there were times that I could have done better, but in that moment, I did what I did.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention more
then. I didn't pay attention enough. That's my regret, too. Sometimes I feel like I didn't pay attention enough. But we're people, and they're people. And one day they may have children, and they may not always pay attention, and they're human, and we're human. But you love your children.
I do. Yeah.
And they know you love them. And you're a really great role model because you're doing the work. You've gone back to school. You've got your degree. You're walking your talk. You got 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Do pretty good. Okay. Now, with that being said, now you got a 20-year-old on your hands.
Yeah.
And if you radically try to change the trajectory too fast and too hard, that's not going to work because that's going to be like what just happened here. Like we just went from this. So with this, let's stay with your 20-year-old. With his personality, would you say he is in a parent archetype, a child archetype, or an empowered adult archetype?
He's child.
Okay. So there's a good chance that when he's in child energy, you're not showing up in woman energy with him.
That's possible, yes.
There's a probability that you're either showing up and swinging back and
I'm
forth between mother.
Mother, yeah.
Mother, right, for sure.
Oh,
but
then
I would bet every so often you get frustrated and you have a daughter energy moment with him.
Oh, yeah.
So now you got two kids fighting with each other.
Yeah.
Don't have a mother empowering her son to be a man.
Yeah.
And that's same with me with Julia.
Yeah.
She's in the child archetype, and I'm in such mother energy with this one that I'm not in woman energy enough with her.
Mm-hmm.
I allow her. I allow things because of my, I just want to get her through. I just want to get her through.
Yeah.
I just
want to
get her through.
Good kids and do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I want to be good to you, and then I want you to be good. I want us to be good. I just want to be good. And if I keep showing you love and I keep showing you love, eventually you're going to see how loved you are, and then you're going to be good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say you and I have both done it.
Mm-hmm.
We've shown them love. Now, to prepare them for the next stage of their life, for you to be a really good mother,
mm-hmm.
you have to prepare him for the next stage of life, or you're going to have failed.
Okay, so how do you start that?
Okay, so let's talk. Let's for both of us, because I'm asking myself these same questions right now. Like we're in the same boat. So what would love? How would love speak to him? True love. How would love speak to him in a way to say, I love you so much. I want to make sure you're prepared for your next steps in life. Have you talked to him about what his next steps are?
Yes. And
what are his next
unrealistic.
Steps? What are they? Well, wait. Stay with it, though. What are his next steps? Even the unrealistic ones. Because I'm going to tell you something. My daughter's next steps are so huge that
mm-hmm.
they might sound unrealistic to someone else, but
mm-hmm.
Julia is planning on being a multi-millionaire.
There it is.
Extremely famous.
There it is.
And the world's going to know her name.
Yeah.
And so if I were to say to her, that's unrealistic, that's not woman energy. That's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just go with it. Your son has this idea that he's going to be really, really rich.
He's going to be a record producer as well.
Okay, he's going to be a record producer. What's mm-hmm. he doing right now?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay, so rather than saying to him, you're not going to be a record producer because you're doing absolutely nothing. You got your head stuck up your ass. You need to get a job at Wendy's and start paying me $100 a month towards the rent.
Well, that's the thing.
That's
he
dream
has
busting.
A job.
But that's dream busting. That's dream
yeah.
busting. So what if you were to say to him, and this is why I'm saying with Julia, she has these big dreams. It takes a lot of work to be a mother that's checked in and really is applying that communication with her kid, helping him, because it doesn't come as easy to him, to actually take the next reasonable step that would actually allow him one day to be a record producer. What if he is a record producer? What if he really is good at it? He just doesn't necessarily have all the tools yet, or he doesn't have the schooling yet, or he doesn't have the connections yet. But what if his dream and his purpose in life really is to be a record producer?
But my thing is, why won't he go to school? He's not motivated at all. I don't even know how to motivate him.
Okay. But what would be his next step if he were to be? Have you asked him? Let's map this out. Okay, I believe in you. I believe that you could be a record producer if it's really your dream. I'm not going to kibosh it. Let's step it out. Walk it through for me. Let's talk about the plan on how you're going to get there. Have you ever done that with him?
When he first came back, yes. And then after that, he wanted to go to this very expensive college that's not accredited. And ever since I told him no.
Why would you tell him no?
Because it's $80,000, and it was way more than my own school. And I told him he can go to community college right here or go to some of the schools right here.
Okay, but what if he
found
out
all the way to Florida?
Okay, let's just say, what you're doing is being his mother. You're being in mother energy on his dreams. So let's say he says, I want to go to this $80,000 a year school.
Yeah, but they wanted my money to because
no,
he could.
Well, you can't. Obviously, that's not your job to pay for his $80,000 a year school.
Yeah, so
I
after
get
I said that, then he won't go. He
okay,
won't
well,
go to any school
Does
now.
He actually think you're supposed to pay $80,000 for his schooling?
He thinks I'm supposed to help him, yes.
Okay, are you willing to help him?
I told him I would.
Okay.
If he would go to another school.
Oh, wait a second. But just wait, because let's just stay. Because what this sounds like is a power struggle. Julia's
yeah.
course was $24,000 plus.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to her, you can save up a third. I will pay a third, and I will get your dad to pay a third.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to ask yourself, if you were to say, I don't have $30,000 to put a third towards the schooling, neither does his dad.
Yeah.
So what if
Okay,
what if you were to say to him, I see that's your dream and that's where you want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying it can't happen for you,
mm-hmm.
but let's figure out how you would make that happen. So have you helped him look up, okay, that school is the big
yes.
the enchilada, the enchilada, the best of the best. Have you helped him see the same programs?
I have.
And so he sees there's other programs.
Yes, but he's
and
not even motivated to even want to go look at the other schools.
And why?
I don't know.
Well, what does he say? Are you having conversations with him?
He just says, okay. And then he won't even take the test. He won't even go get transcripts. I'm just like telling
is
him.
He,
oh,
okay, what I'm trying to get at though
right
is that stuff overwhelming? I'm not trying to make because if you've babied him, you can't just suddenly expect him to go from I don't have these skills to knowing how to go get transcripts and all that. Like I really have had to.
Walk them hand in hand.
Yeah, I really have had to do everything with Julia. Like, she screams and yells at me, but literally she'll be like, I don't know how to do this. And then I'll say, okay, shut up. Let me talk. Then we'll go together. This is where we're going to drive, and this is what we're going to get. Are you willing to go with me? Are you willing to do it? Are you? So some kids do take more work to actually put. So now I feel like Julia's on the right steps.
Okay.
So it took a lot of work to get her on the right steps. But it was her passion. I never once said to her, we can't afford that. But inside, I did think when she said, this is the school I want to go to. I'm going. And I thought, really? 25, 24 with makeup, with the whole, like, really? Like $30,000 a year? That's the one you got to choose?
Right.
Like, can't you go to community college for $4,000?
Right. Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah.
That's
but
the one?
But my thing is, the school isn't even accredited, so he wouldn't, might, you never know. He may not even get a job because no one might not look at that as recognized. I wanted him to go to a school that is recognized as far as accredited.
Yeah, I think what
you know?
I'm hearing, though, is this is a power struggle, and he's not equipped. So he chose the biggest, the best. He doesn't have a clue how to even get into a community college, let alone the best of the best.
But I kind of feel like maybe he doesn't want to go to school, and he's just maybe saying he's going because he thinks that that's the only thing I want him to do is
go
to college.
School?
Because
he needs to.
I've focused that on all of my kids. It's like
he needs to.
Education is important.
Good. He needs to.
So
he needs to go to college.
I think
he's
he
not
really
doing
doesn't
anything.
Want to do it, but he's got to do something. I don't want him laying around
what
my
if
house
you were
all
to,
the time.
Okay, so what if you were then to give him now, you're 20 years old, and I will say with Julia, with both my kids, there's deadlines for things. You have to make a decision about this by this date or this date, and if you're going to go with this route, this is going to happen, and if you're going to go, there's got to be consequences.
Oh, that's a good one.
There has to be consequences. There has to be expectations. This has to be done by this date.
Okay.
If you need my help, I'm with you. I'll go with you. I'll help you fill it. Like, I don't know what they have in the U.S., but we have all kinds of opportunities for, like, a grant or a loan or a this or a that.
Yeah, they do.
I'll help you fill those papers out.
Right.
Because those kind of things might be completely overwhelming for him because on some level he's been babied.
Yes.
So a kid like that might need, like, a little extra, but, like, I'll do it with you, but we got to do it by this date, and then we got to go by this by Friday, and that has to happen. And, you know, really, with both my kids, my eldest probably wouldn't have even gotten into school had I let her do it her way.
Okay.
She took a year off, and then she farted around, and then she cried about this, and then she didn't know if she wanted to go, and then it literally took me, like, and then she went off to one, she went to university, and then she hated her program, and then she was in a depression, and then I let her drop out of school, and then it was a lot of freaking work.
Yeah.
It was so much work
getting
this kid to, and now this is the wonderful, loving one, but she's so passive that she's more like, I don't know, and I don't want to take it, I don't know if I like that one, and I don't know. So I had to, like, start giving her, like, Madeline, you need to make a decision on this by this date. These are, like, and even if she was mad at me, there were things like, you have to get an education, Madeline.
Right.
It's not an option to not have an education.
Right.
It's not an option.
And she's blessed that she has somebody like yourself that's willing to help her with it. Not a lot of families have that option.
Yeah, but even if the thing is I don't have the money, but I will help you fill out the forms, to get your assistance, I will help you, but you've got to make commitments, and we have deadlines.
I told him I can help you with your books. I help my daughter.
But actually do it. Don't say I can help you.
No, yeah.
You do this.
I will do it like this.
We have until Friday to make a decision on this, and we're going to go down and do it. And if you want my help, I'm in.
Got it.
Do you want my help? I'm in. And if you don't want to do that, there'll be consequences.
Got it.
There are consequences to every decision we make in life. So if you go to school, I'm going to help you, and it's going to be great, and I'm willing to do this, this, and this. You know what I tell my daughters? And again, I might sound crazy. As long as you're in school, again, I know there's people that will think this is crazy. As long as you're in school, you're always able to live at home free. I have beautiful food. They pack up dinner, like all that's done. I even pay their car insurance. I pay their cell phone bills. I literally say to them, I will do what, and you're getting good marks and you're in school. I'll make your life. I'll make it so it's not so hard for you to get an education, but you get that education. If you're not in school, I don't pay cell phone bills, I don't pay insurance, and I don't expect rent, but you need to be working, and then you need to have a plan in place. But the reality is they're both in school. But there was consequences, and I made it like, this is the carrot dangling over here, and this is the stick over here. So you get to decide, do you want to move in the direction of that dangling carrot and have a great life?
Yeah.
Or do you want me to come in with consequences over here and make your life hell?
Right.
Thankfully, my kids have always taken the dangling carrot. But right now, little Miss Julia is about to get the stick.
Uh-oh. Oh, I don't want to be around in that house.
And the stick doesn't actually really mean a stick. It means consequences. It means you have until August 15th to get your car insurance in your own name. You have until August 15th to get your phone put in your own name. I'm no longer paying it. You have until – and should you speak to me, like, there has to be now consequences.
Yeah.
I still will dangle the carrot. This is how beautiful life can be if we do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't do it this way, there are consequences. And I love you so much that I will enforce those consequences so that you become an empowered woman.
Love it.
I love you so much. I will do whatever it takes to get you over here to this dangling carrot.
Yeah.
But I will not do anything that will disable you.
Okay.
I will no longer disable you. And I've loved you to this point, and I've made a lot of, what's that word where you sort of
excuses?
Not even excuses, but a lot of allowances.
Mm-hmm.
I've made a lot of allowances in spite of how tired you are or how much you commute or that learning disability or how hard this is for you. I've made a lot of allowances, but now at this point as a young adult heading into the world, this doesn't serve you. So allowing you to continue on this way actually means I'm not a good mother.
Right.
And I'm not prepared to not be a good mother. So if it means you're mad at me, if it means you decide you want to move out and live with your dad, if it means that I love you so much that I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
There's a carrot over here that's dangling. You can have a really great life here. But there's a way that you have to show up in this world and in this family. And I'm not talking about having a meltdown that we all have from time to time. I'm not talking about your hormones are raging, you had a fight with your boyfriend, you're really exhausted, you weren't in your best behavior, because we all have those moments. I'm talking about the day-in, day-out choices that you're making.
Right.
And your son's day-in and day-out choices that he's making, you're not being the mother that you need to be if you allow that.
I know. It's got to come to some kind of...
And it's got to be done with love.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be done with, I'm so pissed at you, I'm turning my back on you. It has to be done, I love you so much, I will do whatever it takes to help you succeed. But I will do nothing to help you fail.
Yeah.
I will not participate in any way in disabling you. I will do whatever I can to help you. And that's now an adult. It's different when your kids are little. You make far more allowances because... you take so many things into consideration. But at a certain point when they become adults, then you have to say, I love you so much that I know this is healthy behavior. And you and I both need to have healthy behavior. My behavior has to be healthy. And if I'm not being a healthy mother, then I'm contributing to why you're unhealthy.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you feel?
I love it. That's great. That's good.
Awesome. Yvette, what do you think?
Yeah, and I think, too, that going back to Julia, that she's also very blessed because not every parent pays for their kids' cell phones and stuff. Some people can't afford it, but if you don't have the money, you don't even get the cell phone. So
of course.
It's come to
of
a
course.
Place of realization that, you know, even the consequences are normal for some people.
Do you know what Julia would tell me? Well, my friend Liv's parents bought her a Jeep, brand new, and they paid her thing. And I go, well, do you know what? Liv's parents aren't doing her any favors.
Yeah.
No.
You know, because at least Julia bought her own car, saved up $8,000, bought her own car.
I remember that.
Saved up $8,000 and paid for her own schooling.
Yeah.
Saved up. You know, so Yvette, I give them those things only in lieu of them doing their part.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They don't do their part, won't do mine.
Yeah.
So it's not like, I just want you to go to school, I'll even pay all your things. It's like, you know, you have your part to give, and I'm going to help you.
This is the bonus.
This
you
is
do
a bonus
this,
gift.
This is a bonus for you, yeah.
Yeah, and if you're not even seeing all the greats, like even for you, Carmen, you're letting him live at home. He doesn't even work. He's not maintaining a job. He gets to lay around and play video games and talk about he's going to be a producer one day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've given him a lot of love and a lot of support, and you let him come home, and he knows he's loved, and you know you've got his back, and you know he knows he's got a great mom. But at a certain point, you have to say, I love you so much, I can't disable you.
Yeah.
That's how much I love you. It would be a travesty if I allowed you at 20 years old to lay around and play video games.
Yeah.
I get it. We all have times. Everybody needs to have an outlet. It's okay if he takes a week off and plays video games, and you know, we all have that. Or he has a day off where he just wants to lay in bed and play video games or listen to music or be a rapper. But, right?
But that's the thing. I've never heard him do any music a day in my life. I'm like, where the heck did this come from?
Yeah, you're not even a, okay.
Growing up, he was saying he wanted to work in a bank. Now he's talking about being a record producer. I don't know where that came from. two weeks ago, he comes in my room and tells me, Mom, I've decided to move to California. I said, oh, you're moving with your sister. No, I've met a girl, and I'm moving to California. Really? When are you leaving? 3 o'clock in the morning. What? What are you talking about? Oh, I've packed already. I'm moving out, and her name's Gloria.
So why
Gloria.
Don't you say, let me know your address when you arrive, and I'll come visit.
I'm like, what? And so my daughter is like, Mom, Gregory's talking about moving out here, and he's not even coming to live with me. He's going to move in some mountain somewhere.
You guys are all babying him. Like, you're all babying him. You're all babying him.
So
like, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't let me
come out here.
I wouldn't let my 20-year-old daughter say I'm moving out to California. I get it. But he walks in and says, Mom, I got my plan.
He bought his ticket already, and then he goes to the airport, calls me, and says, Mom, they won't let me put one of my bags on. It's too much. It weighs too much. I need $50 to pay to get the bag on. I said, if you don't have $50 to pay for a bag, you need to reconsider going back out there. That don't make no sense. So he got mad at me, and then he calls me, Mom, I'm coming home. And then he comes home. Crazy.
Yeah.
And then the next day I said, well, what happened with Gloria? What are you going to do with your airfare ticket? Just seeing where this conversation goes. Oh, we broke up. Where did you meet her? Online. What? You going to move out with someone you don't even know? Oh,
yeah, well, you know what? The airlines, the universe, God took care of it, charged
yes,
them $50
God
for a bag, and the kid didn't have
$50. What the world?
$50 and he's moving away to California.
Take me to the moon.
Yeah. So I'm feeling your pain, sister.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I can't imagine if my kid said it.
I think that's a delightful story.
This will be one in your book. Well,
this is
in your book.
In my book. It's actually going in my book. How I survived being a mother.
It's true. You know what? I think what I've just got at the end of this is we have to laugh. Like, we have to laugh. Some of us have 20-year-olds that are still 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, some of us have 12-year-olds that are 25.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what? You've got a daughter who's 24 she's emotionally empowered and she's on the track. You got a 20-year-old that still needs a whole lot of guidance. But you got to do it from woman energy. You can no longer do it from mother energy. And you're just going to have to start holding them accountable, loving them through it, giggling and laughing. Doesn't mean I'm mad at you. It doesn't mean I'm furious with you. I love you. I won't stop loving you. But there has to now be some consequences. You can be mad at me. I still love you. Like, hug him while you're telling him you're going to have to move out while you're hugging him. Like, I love you. I'm
here's
not
your
mad
bag.
At you.
Okay.
Here's $50. Take your bag. Go figure it out, son. I love
you're
you.
You're calling me at 4 in the morning and I have to be up for work for $50. You don't have $50 to pay for your bag. You don't need to go.
Yeah. Like, I'd actually be like, okay, you can come home for Sunday dinner. Love you, son.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, what I'm getting out of all of this is kids, they will never, ever not be our kids.
Yeah.
They will always be on our mind.
Yeah.
They will always need us, and we need them.
Yeah.
They teach us. They teach us how to laugh. They teach us how to not take life so seriously.
Yeah.
They entertain your neighbors.
The neighbors. You know what I did? You know what I thought to myself? This is what I said to Aaron. He's like, I cannot believe our neighbors heard you say F to your daughter. I said, you know what? They probably all had a really good laugh and went, yeah, that's the empowered, loving offer over there.
Yeah.
I gave them all some relief that, even empowered woman over there from Oprah swears and screams at her kid in the front yard. We're okay. We're all okay. We all got kids. They're all going to try our patience. They're all going to push us to our limits sometimes. And at the end of the day, when it all comes around, we keep loving them. But we got to do what's right, really right, by how to help them become the adult, the empowered adult, the empowered man and woman that we need them to be and the world needs them to be.
Okay.
And it takes a lot of love, and it never ends, not until the day we die. And then we're probably still going to be around them in heaven going, what are you doing?
I just want to be able to look at all this and say, do you remember when?
You know. You will. And you will. Have faith and trust that you're such a wonderful woman. Your son is going to be just fine.
Okay.
He's going to be just fine. I'm chuckling. I already think this kid's got a lot of something.
Well, I don't know what it is.
Get up and move like that and go. You know what that told me?
What?
Yeah, Yvette just said it.
What?
That if he can get his ass up, buy a plane ticket,
get to
an airport, pack a bag, be willing to climb on a plane at 3 a.m., he can make anything happen.
Yeah.
He can make anything happen. He's just not motivated enough right now.
Okay.
You're not going to motivate him, but you might have to use the stick. The stick may have to be his motivation. Just keep remembering. Tony Robbins used to talk about that. Tony Robbins talked about that years ago. I don't know if he does it anymore, but he always said there's always a carrot and a stick, and you got to decide, do you want to be motivated in life by people beating you or by people inspiring you? And encouraging you. So you encourage and then you beat. Encourage and then beat. Encourage and then
beat. You beat them with the carrot.
And every so often you just run at them, tackle them, and hold them down on the ground.
And make them eat that carrot.
Yeah.
I'm feeding you the carrot.
So, well, Carmen, I support everyone, and I send love and light to everyone.
Please pray for me as well.
Well,
I'm sending you so much love and light. This kid will get it figured out, and you're amazing. And you know, God bless us mothers that are doing it. Like God, it's just not easy.
Special strength, that's for sure.
Holy moly, Carmen! Thank you, darling. Thanks
for
the laugh.
Love
Yvette,
you guys. Talk to
you
later.
You too, Yvette. Last
Yay.
Thought.
Just like you said, you know. Parenting and woman energy, basically, that's what it boils down to.
It is. It's life, living life in woman energy. And you know what? Just keep asking yourself, what would my mother energy do? Like, my mother energy would have texted Julia, told her I'm sorry that I swore at her, told her that I loved her, told her that... I did text her, I love you. Like, if I actually read the text, you'd probably all say, wow, that's so woman energy. Because I made sure that the text that I wrote her was woman energy. And also because I thought she'll show everybody, because that's Julia, she'll show every friend, look what my mother wrote to me. My mother's horrible. So I made sure I texted it, and I just have to keep saying it. My mother energy would say, come back, I love you, we can make this work. My daughter energy would say, get the hell out, take your stuff. And woman energy would say, there are consequences. And to live in this home, there has to be a way of showing up. And if you cannot show up in that way, there are consequences. And in fact, right now, there are consequences to what you just did.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to maintain them. And it doesn't mean I stay angry. Once we set those consequences, you wipe the slate clean, you have a hug, you have a laugh, you do something that feels good, and you say, okay, we're going to start fresh now. I'm not going to hold this against you. We're going to start fresh. But there has to almost be a word that when you start going there and I say that word, you know, that's the you know, the bondage word?
Do you have a safe word?
The safe word? I'm going to give you a safe word. And should I say it? And you don't stop.
How do you even get there with the conversation about your daughter is beyond me?
I will tackle you. I will tie you up. And I will string you by your toenails. No, I'm just kidding.
Do you know what the safe word is? Carrot.
I'm just going to say to her, Julia, I'm dangling a carrot right now. If you want the stick, I will get it out and beat you to a pulp. No, just kidding. Ladies, for all of you who have kids, you know you're laughing. You know I'm joking.
Yes.
You know I'm not
going
to beat my kid. I've never. I actually said that. You know, I was so praising myself on Saturday night. We were talking about parenting. I said, do you know, I've never had to hit my children. I've never had to hit them. And I was just, like, all being self-righteous until Sunday morning when my kid...
when you wanted to hit her.
When I actually was like, I actually said to her, I can't even spank you. You're too old to be spanked. And I just caught, but I looked at her. I was very calm. I said, Julie, I can't even spank you. You're too old to even be spanked. There will be consequences. Bam! She slammed the door in my face and started squealed out of the driveway. And that's when I did my screaming. Okay.
Oh, you made my day. I know it's your pain, but it made my day.
I'm glad you're laughing. I'm glad we're all laughing because the truth is woman energy laughs. That's the truth. Woman energy can laugh at everything. We can find the humor in it, and then we don't have to take life so seriously because in the big picture, I got a healthy kid. I got a kid who's doing great things in the world. I got a kid that I know will be absolutely fine. Everything will be fine. And this is life, and life gets messy. Love is not messy, but people are messy, and I got messy, and she got messy, and we can't just sweep it under the carpet. We got to clean it up, clean the slate, start fresh, but have some boundaries and some consequences. So thank you to everyone who joined us today. Thank you so much, Carmen. And thank you, of course, Yvette. And I'm so glad that you didn't scream at the guy in the checkout line.
We'll see you next time. No. I'll be in woman energy.
Woman energy. Thanks, everyone. Have an awesome week. And see you for week 11 on the telecourse tomorrow night, ladies. I'm excited.
Yay.
Last two calls. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.